Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, Australian guitar virtuoso Tommy Emmanuel joins the program. He's bringing his amazing technique to South Dakota for performances in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. And last night's All-Star Game in Minneapolis was one of the few times this season fans at Target Field have had much to cheer about. We'll talk with Argus Leader sports columnist Matt Zimmer about the Minnesota Twins at the midway point in the season. But first, it's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. And John, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks, Carl.
Also with us on the line is David Montgomery, political reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, where he also writes the Political Smokeout blog. And David, good to talk with you again as well.
Always good to be on.
Well, let's start off talking about money. Democrat Corinna Robinson hasn't been very successful in raising money in her campaign to unseat Republican U.S. Representative Kristi Noem, only raised about $28,000. Dollars in the latest reports compared to Noem's $260,000. John Hunter, any mystery as to why she's having difficulty raising money?
Well, I think she has several challenges ahead, one being in kind of a minority party in South Dakota, not having served in the legislature or some other kind of visible place. And I think to a degree, not any real compelling issues against the incumbent. Money tends to get raised when people think there's a chance for a change, and I think at least from some people's perspective, they don't believe this race will adding money to this race would make a change.
David Montgomery?
I think that may have something to do with it. Corinna Robinson had several times better fundraising than Noem, I think Noem would still be the clear favorite here. It's also worth noting, a lot of fundraising is based on political networks. There's only a relatively small percentage of the population that's willing to give any significant amount of money to a candidate. And by and large, these networks have been tapped already. And Robinson, unlike, say, Matt Varelek, the 2012 nominee, who did considerably better at fundraising than Robinson has, Robinson hasn't been able to draw on any existing political networks, such as people who are traditional supporters of Tim Johnson or Stephanie Herseth or Tom Daschle or anything like that. She's a political newcomer and seems to be mostly on her own.
John Hunter, is there even just much awareness of her campaign among the general public? I know that here for me, talking about Democrats anyway, I get emails from Rick Weiland all the time. Very little do I ever hear from Corinna Robinson's campaign.
Well, campaigning has changed, and I think candidates generally need a very early start. They need, especially challenging ones without the network that David is referring to. They need an early start. They need a relatively sophisticated campaign to go raise money and get their message out. Now, that being said, I think she's doing what she can given those resources and, getting out among the public in any opportunity she can and trying to get that message out. But it's a lot of voters to try to reach kind of one at a time, and it'll be a challenge uphill for her.
Do you have any thoughts, David Montgomery, on what it would take for her to be competitive, even though, admittedly, she faces an uphill climb in trying to unseat Kristi Noem?
It would take a lot of work, and it would take some people sort of standing up for her and being willing to act as surrogates and to introduce her to their networks, to vouch for her and tell the people who have money to spend on political donations that she's a good bet as a candidate, and primarily a lot of work. Raising money involves a lot of calls, a lot of events, a lot of emails, letters and emails, and a lot of politicians don't like it, but it's something you have to do to win these days. And while the candidate with the most money doesn't always win, more money is almost always a very good thing for candidates. you don't need to have that's more money than the opponent. But you have to have a certain amount of money to be able to afford TV ads and travel around the state and yard signs and all that stuff. And Karina Robinson only has $5,000 in the bank right now. And unless she improves drastically, she's not going to have enough money to do even the bare minimum that she needs to get her message out to voters.
In talking about fundraising and having that network, this brings up a question: how strong is the network of Democrats in South Dakota? Period, John Hunter.
Well, it doesn't look particularly good, but I don't think it's as bad as it appears. I think there are some signs of growth for Democrats in South Dakota. I think there are some possibilities. Certainly, losing kind of Tom Daschle and possibly Tim Johnson in this is not very good for the party. But I think there are some good grassroots things going for Democrats, and I'm optimistic about the party being relevant in South Dakota in upcoming years.
David Montgomery, do you see that there is this potential, or there is growth for among Democrats in South Dakota?
It's hard to say, Twittery, there's growth you can observe right now. I think it's definitely the case that while the trend has been negative for Democrats over the past decade, and especially the past 5, 6, 7 years, the trends can change at a moment's notice. There's no iron law that says that just because things have happened in the past that is going to mean they'll continue to happen in the future. But I think what Democrats are stuck in a sort of spiral heading downward where they lose elections, then people don't want to run for office or give them money because they think they're just going to lose elections, and because people don't run for office and give them money, they lose more elections. And Democrats need sort of an outside shock, whether it's a very charismatic candidate or a self-inflicted error by Republicans or a change in the national climate, some sort of outside shock to break that spiral. And if they get that and capitalize on it effectively, then they can make this recent decline a bump in the road. But the trend could also continue.
In looking at this fall, John Hunter, seems that Republicans will win all of the statewide races, at least the way it seems from the middle of July.
It kind of appears that way. There will be, I think, some at least some discussions among voters for each of these positions. Some are better than others. As you know, there are a couple of them that are unopposed: commissioner of school and public lands, state auditor. Currently, the attorney general spot, although that may change, and we can talk about that in a bit. It doesn't, at the moment, doesn't look as though there will be upsets in any of those races.
Well, you mentioned we've been talking about Republicans and Democrats, another party, the state Libertarian Party leaders. They've announced that they're holding a convention in Sioux Falls on August 9th, and they're planning on nominating candidates for the constitutional offices, including attorney general. David Montgomery, traditionally in South Dakota over the past few years, past few elections anyway, how many votes do Libertarian candidates usually get?
General Libertarian candidates can get anywhere between 2 and 6 or 7% of the vote, depending on the specific circumstances. I think this year could be, by some measures, a banner year for the Libertarian Party, precisely because the Democrats have left several constitutional races uncontested. So if Libertarians run someone for Attorney General, for example, that candidate is probably going to get a lot of Democratic votes. And they're probably not going to win, but they could get easily into the 30 or 40% range, which would be fantastic for a Libertarian. The success would be largely because of the Democrats' failure to nominate candidates for those races. But the Libertarians have the advantage of moving last, so they can react to what the Democrats did and nominate candidates for those races where they'll be the only challenger in the ballot.
Well, I see that the Libertarians aren't nominating a candidate for governor. That's because it's just too late for those offices. You have to have petitions, David?
Yeah, that's, governors have to be nominated through the primary process, which means they would have had to get petitions and be on the ballot and all that before the June 3rd primary. And they missed that, so they're going to lose their official party recognition coming up soon here, and we'll have to do another petition drive to recreate the Libertarian Party. But the constitutional offices are in South Dakota are nominated through the convention process, and that's the deadline in early August for a party to do so. And right at the last minute, last week, the Libertarians notified Secretary of State Jason Gantt that they were going to hold a petition right up against the deadline to make that announcement.
In the Attorney General candidacy, which, is, as you mentioned, no Democrats, Marty Jackley, the Republican, running unopposed at this moment. Chad Haber, however, husband of former Republican U.S. Senate candidate Annette Bosworth, says he'll seek the Libertarians' nomination for Attorney General at this convention in August. John Hunter, will he get support from Libertarians?
Well, I'm not an insider there, but I think it's possible. You know, there would be lots of publicity that would come from that candidacy, for better or worse. But it would be, you know, people would talk about it and write about it and so forth. So I think it's possible that they would do that. You know, they would try to discuss issues. It's not just they don't want to be thought of as simply a place to go when you want to run late. But that their principles and so forth would be discussed during the campaign. That would be what the party would be looking for. But so I don't know how those dovetail at the moment. But I think it would be a possibility.
David Montgomery, what do you think of his chances being nominated by the Libertarians?
It's hard to say. There's a very small number of people, a couple dozen, who are going to be making these nominations at the Libertarian Party convention. I've spoken to several Libertarians who don't want Chad Haber to be their nominee and are trying to recruit other people to run against him. Assuming that those people are credible, it's a very good chance that someone else will end up being the Libertarian nominee for Attorney General. But Chad Haber would certainly bring a lot of attention, which the party leaders in the convention could like, or they could say that he would bring the wrong kind of attention, given all the various issues and attention swirling around Bosworth. So if I had to bet, I would say that Chad Haber would not be the Libertarian nominee, but it's entirely possible.
But this, David, is the only way that he can get on the ballot as an Attorney General candidate?
This is the only way he can get on through normal circumstances. It's possible he could also file a lawsuit. There's been some other states where judges have suggested that early deadlines like South Dakota has for its nominating procedures are unconstitutional, and that it's possible that a judge could rule that South Dakota needs to set a later deadline and put Haber on the ballot. But that would be an uncertain route, and it sounds like the plan they're taking now is to go through the established channels and try to get a political party's nomination.
Well, John Hunter, looking at Chad Haber wanting to seek the getting on the ballot as an Attorney General candidate, do you see this as pretty much just part of the ongoing Annette Bosworth saga?
Well, I do. You know, as Chad is talking about this, he stated a reason as running for the prosecution of Richard Meddy. But I, you know, from an outside observation, it just looks like this would be, you know, something that they could attack Marty Jackley on a daily basis, which already Annette has indicated that this is some sort of personal vendetta or some kind of political thing that she's being charged with these crimes. So it, you know, from 99% of the observers, it sure looks like it's because of his wife's legal troubles, but he has not said that.
Yeah, Annette Bosworth's trial and election law violations coming up in November in Pierre. David Montgomery, is that pretty much your take as well on the Chad Haber candidacy for Attorney General?
Well, I think they're genuinely upset at Marty Jackley. I'm inclined to think that they believe it when they say that they see this as a political prosecution, and this conflict between Bosworth and Jackley has escalated. I think they've looked around into Jack Lee's past and have uncovered more things, like the Medi case that they blame Jack Lee for. So I think there's some, I think there's some genuine discontent with him, but I also think that a lot of this stems from the problems that Annette Bosworth has gone through, both her current prosecution now as well as some of her past difficulties before she became a politician when she was fighting for her medical license.
All right. Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. David, thanks for joining us.
Always good to be here.
And John, thanks for your time as well.
Thanks, Carl.